Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my co-host and Hall of Fame barbecue member, Leanne Women. Leanne Women, yeah. I want to go iron my tongue here in a minute. Okay. We're coming to you from our respective Turn It, Don't Burn It studios, mine in Portland, and Leanne's permanent one is in Tampa, but she may be in Daytona.
I'm in like Lauderdale and then headed to Daytona.
Well, there you go. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. You can check them out online at PaintedHillsNaturalBeef.com. Well, if you're a YouTuber and you like YouTube, which I happen to do, there's lots of stuff out there. There's nothing I don't think you can find on YouTube. But one of the things that Leanne brought to my attention a while back were our guests today, Adam and Brett Walton, the Wall Twins, which I think is quite clever.
Thank you.
Weekend Warriors with a huge following on the tube. And they do some great recipes and barbecue on there and grilling. And they kind of cover it all. So it's a real pleasure to welcome them to the show today. Hey, guys.
Hey, thanks so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
No problem. So the first question, other than your parentage, because that's obvious, okay? You guys are like looking in a mirror. But how did you get into first like grilling and cooking? And then what made you take the step to putting it on film, so to speak?
That's a great question. Brett, do you want to start? You kind of got me going into cooking back when you would do some grilling.
Yeah, my grilling, we always loved cooking growing up, you know. Watch mom dabble and things like that. But when I was in the army, I got a grill and just became a thing. I was married with kids, so all the single soldiers like to come over and we just throw some groceries down and kind of cook whatever. And that's when I kind of started learning about just whatever you want to eat, throw down, season it up, and you're going to enjoy it. So that's pretty much when it started on a regular basis.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, were your folks big, you know, backyard cookers or anything?
Funnily enough, not a whole lot. We grew up actually in Utah, and so we did have a grill out on our patio, and my dad would make some good burgers, you know, aka hockey pucks, make some barbecue chicken from time to time. But we loved our mom's cooking, probably like most everybody does. And oddly enough, we come from a family of seven. There's seven kids, and we've got an older brother and a sister who are just phenomenal cooks. Our brother was a chef for several years, and our sister is probably the best cook that we knew. Anytime we taste her food, we just like pick her brain. How did you do this? And so taking on Brett and I would just phone call and start talking about different cooks, things we were doing. And then one year, I just wanted to take on Thanksgiving turkey and reach out to my mom, and she would walk me through the process. That became every year, I'd call her and she'd walk me through making the turkey. And I just really, really loved it. And then I guess after she passed, we were really, really just talking more recipes with our sister. And we just realized we had a passion. I tell people all the time, like I went to school for education. I'm a teacher now. If I could go back and do it again, I love my students. I love teaching, but I'd probably go to culinary school. There's just something. Yeah. We have a drive for it. We talk about it. It is anytime Brett and I are talking, we're almost always either talking YouTube, what's going on there, or just food and recipes and what we're going to do and what we can learn. So we love it.
You know, Leanne, I was just going to say, I think these guys did something really smart. They kept talking to their mom. You know, so many people that we talk to, whether it's on the show or not, they'll be, you know, conversing about food and barbecue stuff, obviously. And I know Leanne did this too with her dad.
I did.
What they say, a lot of people say, gosh, I wish I didn't get that pecan pie recipe from my mom or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's really smart to get that traditional stuff.
Yeah, it's true. It laid the foundation and the basis. And I still do the turkey the same way. You know, last couple of years I talked to her, it was more just the tradition because she'd walked me through it enough. So yeah, that down to our basic gravy that I make is very simple, basic, but it's the way that mom did it. So still enjoy it.
That's great. There you go. So you were in Utah. So yeah, I see you're in two different locations now. Are you at least in the same state?
We are. So I'm actually in Orlando. I'm just outside Orlando in Apopka. And Brett is up there in Gainesville, right outside the Gainesville area. So we're about 2 hours away.
So you're able to get together to shoot these videos, or do you kind of try to snip it together?
No, Brett, I know I'm doing all the talking. Brett, you want to keep going? You want to chime in? How do you want to do it?
I just want to fill in. I'm doing babysitting duty with my granddaughter. My girlfriend's trying to get here to take over, but 3 o'clock start. The show must go on. So,
hi, sweetie.
She's all, Sienna. This is Sienna.
Hi.
We finished our homework. We finished our homework in time, so she did her reading and her homework. So.
So yep. She's glad to harass you now.
Yeah, exactly. Now she's got Mickey Mouse out there to hopefully hold her over. But she's this more interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. Today's opposite day. I promise.
Okay.
But yeah.
So yeah. But so as far as that goes, so what we do is, and we've done this for the past several years. When we started YouTube, we didn't start out as a cooking channel. It started from a silly face swap app that we had. We did face swap with each other, and because we're identical twins, we were giggling like crazy at it. Because to us, we don't look the same. So I saw my face on his body and he saw his face on my body, and we uploaded it, and Viral Hog reached out to us and said, hey, we think this is good. We think this will go viral. We didn't know anything about it. So we signed the rights over to it. And sure enough, it went viral. It's went 4 million views overnight or something like that. We thought, man, people like looking at freakishly identical twins. Maybe we got something here. So we spent the first about 4 years doing everything from carpool karaoke to challenges to just vlogging in general. And then we started doing fast food reviews because I was doing all the editing. I'd spent countless hours researching YouTube, how to get in the algorithm and all that. So we were doing fast food reviews. It was okay. And then COVID hit and there was no way people were watching dudes go out and eat burgers. You know, it's like, you should be staying home. Yeah. And it just so happened that I decided, you know what, let's get a griddle, and had no idea we were striking while the iron was hot. We went live on YouTube and we asked our audience of, I think 12 people, Brett, were there on our live. And we said, hey, how many of you would like to watch us cook? Because we've been talking about doing it for years. I just thought, I couldn't imagine how I was going to film it. That was my whole issue. But we started doing it, and it took off. But yeah, so we get together every 3 weeks to about 3 weeks, and we'll meet on a weekend. And if we can get a cook at Friday night, great. But like right now, where the sun goes down early, lighting's always an issue. We like to day cook. So we'll usually do, you know, 6 or 7 cooks in a Saturday, and then Sunday we'll get up and try to get 3 more. We try to get 9 videos done, so that gets us 3 weeks out. Every once in a while, that's, we'll throw in a solo cook. So you've been there. It's a ton.
Yeah. I like the way you say day cook. Most of my friends are day drinkers, and so they're not much help, you know.
They're day eaters. That's what they're there for.
You know, and I'm glad we met you guys, because you were talking about swapping faces. If you put my face on Leanne, that would not be a hit. Trust me.
But you never know.
You never know, though. But, you know, barbecue is one of those safe havens where big guys, because I'm a big guy like you are. Leanne is not that she's very petite, you know.
Right.
And but I feel very comfortable. When I was walking around the Jack this year looking at everybody, I thought, God, I feel small.
Right in, right at home. Exactly. Like who's Slim Shady over here? Yeah.
So what's either one of you, Adam or Brett, what do you think is the biggest thing you've learned so far about this whole experience?
I'll say trust the process. If you're following a recipe, or maybe you think you know something and you're just going through it, just know the end result is what you're going for. You might, and we get comments all the time of like, oh, we flipped this too soon or did that or whatever. There's always going to be haters that are going to be there. But trusting the process, and especially the more you do it, the more comfortable you get with your palate and your skill and ability to cook, and not just cook, but cook good food that a lot of people want to eat. And so that's my biggest thing would be trust the process.
Adam?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing, but I mean, there's so many things, but also for me, and I just, as I had time to kind of think of that, is my biggest thing. I remember very distinctly several years ago, wishing I could make a good biscuits and gravy recipe. For whatever reason, I was like, man, if I could ever nail that. And so I learned to look for good recipes and follow good recipes, and they'll get you to to Brett's point. You trust that process. You end up with good food. And then eventually you can start playing with it, tweaking things that you want.
Yep.
But I feel like I make a very basic biscuits and gravy. That's my favorite, because I finally learned I could do this. And we do a lot of Asian cooks on the griddle, and those have become some of our favorites because they taste just like they do in the restaurant, just by following the recipe.
You have the right amount of grease. That's what I always say about it.
Exactly. Don't be afraid of it.
Yeah. No. Do you think it's important that you guys not just do brisket? You know what I mean? I mean, it's name of this show is Barbecue Nation. And you know, all those people, we love all those people. And that's where Leanne is, has really excelled, you know, in that right. world. But I like to, and I know she does too. She can speak to this, but I think it's when you bring other forms and other dishes to the grill, to the, you know,
and
it
that's
doesn't
what
matter.
They do. I like what they do because I feel like they're integrating favorite things, but doing integrating into like another recipe where it combines things people love that, but you're still keeping it simple. Simple is so important.
It absolutely is. And that's such a good point. And we've loved, like we still consider ourselves new with barbecue and we are loving using the smokers and really learning the processes. You know, we feel like we're smoker lights, LITES, because, you know, we didn't do the stick burning and all that. We got right into pellet smoking, but it was, I remember same thing to that point when I wanted to cook a big brisket with the whole intent of taking some of that cut down brisket and putting it on a smash burger. So that way we were combining this amazing cut of meat and making one of our favorite burgers even better, a little barbecue. And it still is one of the most memorable. But yeah, we love combining it. We've done a tomahawk, smoking it on the grill and then finishing it off on the griddle. And we just love mixing the different cooking processes, but it's not a rocket surgery, as I would say.
You know, and a lot of people really have added those flat tops to their backyards. So it works. It isn't like you can do it because they don't have the equipment, and it's affordable too. And I think people enjoy the journey with you all because you are kind of novices. I hate to use that word because you're really not, but in smoking, it makes it more achievable and people don't get intimidated and they're more apt to take the leap and do it at home, you know?
Yep, absolutely. We got to take a break for time before David yells at me. But we'll be back with Adam and Brett Walton, the Wall Twins. You've seen them on YouTube, and Leanne and I, and stay with us. We're coming right back. Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Ms. Leanne Whippin, barbecue champion extraordinaire, Hall of Fame member. And she can make the prettiest vase out of a toilet paper roll that you've ever seen in your life. We'll explain that later. But
The on the road centerpiece
with a bath towel as a tablecloth and all that. If you want to follow us, we'd love that. You just go to or email us too. You can go to barbecuenationjt.com. There's a link there. You can send it to us. We're on all the platforms, X, formerly known as Twitter and Facebook and Insta and not Insta and Senki or whatever they are, but we're out there. So give us a listen. But like I said, we're talking with Adam and Brett Walton today, the Wall Twins. Did you think when you started that it would turn out like this? I mean, you're not anywhere near done, but you know, it's like, what the hell is going on? You know?
Yeah, it was, it's been a tremendous journey. We are blown away that we have such a following that we do. And you know, sometimes it's the following, and sometimes people point out how many views we have on different platforms, and it blows our minds. No, when we first started, we really did, because the one little viral video went viral, and I think everybody that starts YouTube kind of has that vision, like, oh, I can put this on YouTube, everyone's going to watch it. And you put a video up, and you're like, okay, this video has 47 views, and I think I've watched it 37 times. So, you know, you start to realize people aren't watching, you're watching. And it was when we cooked, and I was so grateful that I had spent the time, the years of learning the algorithm and learning how to a good thumbnail along with title and description and those things to help drive the algorithm. So when we started griddle cooking, at that time when everybody was staying home, we had no idea it was going to blow up. And we got very fortunate. We went from 1,600 subscribers March of 2020 to 6,000 by June, 13,000. By August, and then we were YouTube reached out to us, and we'd become their YouTube Creators on the Rise for a day, meaning we were featured on their homepage for 24 hours. So we were two videos below Mr. Beast stuff for a full 24 hours. And we got, you know, another 10,000 subscribers overnight. And that just really stunned us. And that got the things going there. But no, we never expected it to take off the way it did. But I think what it helped us is really hone our skills and realize we can't fake it anymore. This isn't like a fake it till you make it time deal, because somehow we made it in this weird, bizarre, not ready for this. And we better start doing something here. So
yeah,
it took us by surprise.
Do you find sponsors reaching out to you wanting to use their products, or do you have to reach out to the sponsors?
We did get a lot of sponsors reaching out.
Of course, when we were first starting, we're like, holy cow, Brad, we got this meat grinder for free. Are you kidding? This is crazy. You know, of course, this is the small little one you can get on Amazon, but we still love it, you know. But it got to a point where, like, we got to stop just taking free stuff.
Right.
Like, we could maybe get paid for some of this. But no, we've only ever tried to reach out that I remember one time, and it didn't really work out, but we were still early on. But we've had sponsors reach out to us, and we still do, and we appreciate it. You know, with time, you know, we both have full-time jobs, so we can't, if we could do this full-time and work on full sponsorships, man, that would be incredible, but we're just not at that level yet. And so, we're grateful for the partnerships that we do have. But yeah, it makes it a lot of fun when you realize people are willing to, you know, use your likeness and your image. And we always try to make sure we honor our brand and our goals and our values and anything that we do. So, you know, we sometimes try to match up. Like, we've had brands reach out that would be great, and they've offered us, you know, paid gigs and things, but it's just, you know, we're family friendly. So there's things that we just wouldn't add to our repertoire for sponsorships or brands.
Yeah. Do you find that when you get really big views, does it surprise you, or did you try, was that your goal on that particular video?
That's interesting, because I do. I watch the algorithm like crazy, and Brett knows, like, it's like I can never be satisfied with where we're at, because I'm like, well, that video did really good as expected. Sometimes we have videos that disappoint because I feel like, hey, I did this right. The thumbnail looks great. They don't. But yeah, there are some that really surprise us. And what we're finding now, it used to be like a video could take off and we'd have a whole bunch of views within the first 48 hours. I'm like, wow, this one's really taking off. What I'm finding now is they'll kind of be middle of the pack. Then all of a sudden, 2-3 weeks, a month later, I'll look and I'm like, oh, wow, that has a lot more views than I thought. So they're rolling in different now. So I don't know if it's a YouTube thing. But yeah, there are some that still really surprise me. I think I will say probably the most discouraging. I say discouraging half-heartedly, because it's really not discouraging. It's all amazing. Our most viewed videos, though, have nothing to do with cooking. It's about how to clean and take care of the griddle.
Yeah.
Or some of our unboxing videos, which are fun. But it's like, did you not see our new Smashburger video?
No. It's crazy.
So I gotta ask you this, because Leanne touched on this and you covered it, Adam. How many times have you gotten a package in the mail, so to speak, and it's spices, rubs, whatever, and I happen to have a whole closet full of them, and I tend to give them away. Not that they're bad products, and that's not what I'm saying. It's just too many. You can't possibly use them in what you're doing.
Right. There are. I like to go to Brad's house. He keeps us so nice and organized on this huge spice rack. And I just look at them. They're so amazing. I'm like, we will never use all these. And then I remember all that I'm looking at his place, I have just as many at mine.
Yeah.
You get stuff all the time.
Yeah. So folks, if you're listening to this, it doesn't mean we wouldn't like to try your products.
Absolutely.
But, but that's where we'll kind of, it's,
and to be fair, I'm sure you look at the product and how many followers they have and that kind of thing, because it's more promising for you all to use a product that has a bigger following. I mean, that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, you know, Leanne, that's a great point. I think it's kind of the hidden part of content creation that a lot of people who don't do it don't quite understand. And it does become discouraging. You know, people think we sell out because we're using one product or another, and it's not. We're really trying to support ourselves and our families. But also the flip side to that is that we're not going to be able to use everything or do everything. But it is, so our vision and use of them, obviously we will never promote anything that we don't think is a great product. We've never been like, oh, sure, they want us to do, you know, some weird product or a spice that we would just never use. So we try to be honest and keep it real, so to speak. But at the same time, it's like, we do have an audience, and our end goal is to build our audience. And, you know, we want to keep being able to entertain, but also share. But we also realize that our whole brand is built in our and who we are. So if we have products that people can't trust, then eventually we lose all credibility and it's not worth it. So
right.
I heard your numbers. You say you shoot, you know, 9 videos on a weekend for the next 3 weeks. So it sounds like your frequency is important too. So you're doing probably 3 a week and that's important. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're going to take another break. We're going to be back with Adam and Brett Walton, the Wall Twins, and Ms. Whippin and myself right after this. You're listening to Barbecue Nation. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out. Welcome back to the Nation. I'm JT along with Leanne and I got my script in the wrong spot. How about that? we'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. Excuse me. They still have. I talked to them yesterday. If you go in and if you go to their online store at PaintedHillsBeef.com, and you order something from the store, if you type in the code BBQ Nation, you get 15% off. So you can buy everything from a couple of pieces of jerky to New York's or whatever you want. So go there. Also, Pig Powder, Best Rub on the Planet Award. Leanne, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, it is. And competition teams use it all the time. And we're looking at actually getting some ambassadors at this point that use it frequently that have won a lot of awards. So use it on home pork chicken. It's great on everything.
It's great on green beans.
It is great on french fries. It's great
and
on
french bacon. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
not so here, a dry rub, it's a seasoning.
Yeah, it is, right. A seasoning. So here's a question for you. When you guys are eating french fries, and I've never asked Leanne this question either, I like a little salt on stuff. Besides the seasoning, I put the salt on my ketchup and then I do it that way. Is that weird or is that okay with you guys?
I think that's very weird.
We've actually been doing that for quite some time.
Yeah.
True story. My older brother taught me that when we were younger, going to Wendy's, because Wendy's notoriously didn't salt their fries. So he would crack open their little salt, and they have really fine salt there that was really good. Mix it in that. So yes, I've done that before.
Well,
that's a weird one.
It depends on the fry. Depends on the fry.
We're the only people we know that knew it. So
yeah, well now you met another one.
And now JC, exactly.
Because I know when I'm eating with my wife, we're out or something, and if I get fries or something, I'll take a little sauce or something, depends on the plate, and I'll put the ketchup on there. And I say, you want some ketchup? She's like, no, you put salt in it.
Too salty.
You know? You know, that's a bad thing. You've never done that, Leanne?
No, I have never. I guess I have to try it now, but I don't like ketchup.
Maybe.
Oh, there you fries.
Go. Well, if you got,
if you start there.
Yeah, if you've got secret fry sauce, you could do it in your secret fry sauce too. You know,
I like them straight up.
Okay.
There you go.
She probably drinks her bourbon neat or something. I don't know.
No. Yeah, everything. Less is more, as they say.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you guys really start getting into the YouTube, and Adam, you talked a little bit about studying the algorithm and stuff, and Leanne brought this up right at the end of the last segment, the frequency. If you're going to do this, I think you have to be pretty dedicated. You can't just drop one video. If you're going to try to make something out of it, you know, right. You can't drop one video every 6 months and then say, look at me. You know, unless you're a Martian or something, and then that's right. All bets are off. But the point is that frequency, do you think that is what kind of inhibits some people from really being successful on social media and especially YouTube?
It does. Dwayne The Rock Johnson can do that. He could probably drop a video every 1 month or two and, you know, get millions of views. No, it is there. And that's the biggest thing I learned. And I feel really fortunate. And that first of all, my wife supported me just doing this when this was a habit. We weren't making any money doing this at all, but she just let me do the research. Because sometimes it was, I remember being up 1-2 in the morning, reading, doing some research, watching YouTubers who teach how to YouTube, so to speak. And that's where I learned about the algorithm and really getting the ear of a really good friend who we were small channels at one time. And then he started doing gaming and then he blew up and, you know, was gracious enough to meet, to talk with me for a good hour or two. And he just said, learn Al. And he said, Al is what I call the algorithm. And it really came down to, what do I need to do? And he gave the advice to upload 3 times a week. It wasn't like specific, like this is everybody's number is going to be different. There's some people who do every day, some people who twice a week works, once a week if you're dedicated and you've got that following. For us, we find 3 is a good number. Sometimes it's like some people say, wow, you know, you guys are uploading so much, I'm not able to catch up. So they watch them all. For some people, they can't get enough. So it was just learning that. And I remember dedicating for 1 year, I was going to just do, we were going to do 3 videos a week. And I knew that meant we were going to have to film a lot more and get together more and kind of sacrifice. And it was at the tail end of that year that actually I not missed one upload. That the next year was, that was 2019 is the year I dedicated that. And then the next year was, you know, COVID year. And fortunately we started cooking. So yes, I think if you're going to do YouTube, learn how to let YouTube work for you. They say it's not an algorithm. Your algorithm is just your audience, but you got to start somewhere and you've got to build an audience. You can't build from nothing. Mm-hmm. And we have some people who are very successful on other platforms. We work with TikTokers who have 2 million followers, but can't grow on YouTube. And they're frustrated because you can make money on YouTube, but you can't on TikTok.
Right.
And so we feel fortunate that we kind of started on there, and we're trying to do TikTok and all these others, which are now I'm learning a whole new process of filming and doing everything, changes everything. But yeah, so it is, it's a beast and it's hard. So, you know, it doesn't always translate. Different audiences prefer different platforms.
How often when you're creating your 9 for over the weekend for the next 3 weeks like that, how many times do your recipes fail? I mean, Leanne and I have had it, you know, you're thinking this is, excuse me, going to be great. And at the end, you look at it and go, that number is good.
Brett, I still like, I'm just all the time, Brett.
That's not once have we failed once, several times. Yes, it is. The griddle is seems to be a little more forgiving than a smoke. Like we've destroyed a brisket, which I'm sure we all have, and that's a very expensive, frustrating beef jerky that you just made. And you film it and you get it done, and you go cut into it. And you're like, oh, look, it's dry. Oh, yeah. There's the, get the sport bottle. We got to squirt something on there to fall off. I think we, you know, it happens more often than we like to.
Yeah, you open it up and it says Reebok on the inside.
When you do your YouTube videos, do you find time is an element also? You try not to go over a minute, or what do you think that's important?
That's great. We find our sweet spot, and some of that has to do with advertising. So YouTube it used to be 10 minutes and longer, they'll do a mid-roll ad, which they like because that means they're able to show more ads if your audience is sticking around for it. So you can make a little bit more money. They went down to 8 minutes and longer. So 10 minutes is still the sweet spot. But if you're making videos that people aren't sticking around for, you don't want them that long. So for some people, 4 minutes is all they do. We found for us a good spot is between 11 and 15 minutes. Sometimes some of our longer content does really well. Sometimes we don't get as much watch time. And that's what we look for, is watch time and engagement are two of the data points that I look at.
You're the first ones that we've had on the show that has said that length of time. It's yeah. So you must be, well, you are very entertaining.
Well, we get a lot that say, get to the point, just show me what I need. And that's kind of what we look, and I guess that's probably how we look at it too. But we also haven't toyed with like really, this was early on, some shorter videos, 3-4 minutes. And we found we literally get the same amount of watch time. It's about anywhere from 40 to 70% watch time on all the content. So it's like, if it's 2 minutes, that means people are watching, you know, a little more than a minute of it. But if it's 15 minutes and they're watching 7 or 8 minutes, that's going to, you know, on the YouTube end, be way better for us. So, but it is, it's part because we look at it as a cooking show rather than just a how to, here's the step-by-step, hurry and get to this point, which some people have mentioned, man, just hurry and get to the point, but they're like, man, you can scrub past it. So it is about building our audience and working with our audience. But to that point, we are always willing to look and say, if we are going to do a straight how-to video, just here's what you need. Let's get to the point. You're going to do this for this amount of time and get, and we could do shorter as well. But we found for us and what YouTube prefers, because they want to roll ads. They want people on the platform as long as they can. They want to run ads. And so if we can help generate that, you know, for it, then we're here for it. But yeah, if it helps to do shorter content and then people are watching, then that works as well.
Do you think that is kind of indicative of watching that, you know, get to the point quick stuff? Do you think that's indicative of like TikTok and Instagram and stuff, that they've become kind of anesthetized to that? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that I've noticed that when people do that, they want you to hurry, you know, because when we put these shows up, they'll scroll to the good part. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they'll watch it like that. But do you think that's one of the reasons?
Absolutely. I think just in general, people's our attention span there's a major deficit. In fact, I use the example, I learned seeing a research on, there's a children's show called Cocomelon, very, very popular right now. And if you watch it, the transitions happen every 2 or 3 seconds. And it's stunning because more of them are 2 seconds than three. In old movies, they used to say, if you could, you know, every 9 seconds, you got to make a transition. Then it was every 7 seconds. Then I learned on YouTube, you want between 4 and 8 seconds. So I do, I cut my edits. So we're either zooming in or out, panning out every, you know, several seconds to help with attention. But that Cocomelon, that constant every 2 seconds moving. But yeah, we have noticed since TikTok has really taken off, the watch time has dipped substantially. We're talking about between 1 and 2 minutes per video overall watch time. And you can attribute it right when TikTok really took off. It's crazy.
There you go. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to ask the burning question. Is Brett really a shock jock on the radio? We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever is at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey, everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us. Check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them. Welcome back to the Nation with Ms. Whippin and myself. We'd like to thank the folks at the Oregon Crab Commission. Going to be doing some, I've created a couple new recipes, so we got some new stuff coming up on the shows that I work on TV with the Oregon Crab Commission. And if you ever get up to the Northwest, you got to eat some Dungeness crab. I'm just telling you. I have a convert on the other end of this line with us today.
I will second that.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm trying to con them into sending you some, but I got to make sure you're home to get it, because that's not something you want to leave out in the Florida sun very long.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, that would
I'm
just
staying
be...
home from now on.
Okay.
Pay for that crap.
So
there you go. So, Brett, you were a morning host at a rock station in Gainesville. That's Gainesville's not my old stomping grounds, but I started my radio career as a morning drive rock jock.
Okay, and we're actually not rock. We're top 40 kind of hot AC adult contemporary. We do the pop music. We play a lot of Taylor Swift. So all of Taylor Swift.
I knew you were going to say that.
You mean only play Taylor Swift?
It's pretty much Taylor Swift, 105.3 here in Gainesville. Yeah, I've been here for 19 years. Started out driving. We have a big giant boombox that we take to events, live broadcasts. And then a few months in, I got a chance to do the night show where I did the hottest night show in the universe. I did that for 6 years, a couple stints on the morning show, and then they put me back on the morning show, and I've been there for the last 13, 14 years. Loving it.
Great. That's
awesome. A long time for a morning host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
It really is.
And the fact that I'm still at the same station that I started at is virtually unheard of in this industry. Radio is a very revolving door type industry where people will come through and use it as a stepping stone or a starting point. Gainesville, we're middle market 83 to 86 out of like 200 some odd markets. So we're on the larger part of the middle market. So it's been a great place for me to land. And here, I got my granddaughters here, and we've got relatives right here. So I've been fortunate to be able to stay and be at the same place where it all started.
Well, good for you. How's what you've learned doing, and I'm not talking about the process, the videoing it, the filming it, but the actual cooking process, has that changed what you do when you go to a restaurant? What you order?
Trey, you can go first.
The palate has definitely changed from a simple cheeseburger with just ketchup, mustard, and mayo. I'm not like so picky as far as like the way I order things. I'll just order, but I've definitely expanded my palate to the point when 4 years ago I hated onions, and now I can't have a burger without it. You know, it's simple things like that. The things that we found that we're enjoying that we never would have tried eating out at a restaurant before, and now we're actually seeking them out when we go to a restaurant or going to a restaurant for that specific reason.
Yeah, Adam.
Yeah, and to that point, I appreciate, my wife says I've ruined smash burgers for anywhere, Five Guys anywhere. Like, why spend the money when we can do them just as well or better at home, which I appreciate. But the one that I've learned, actually, one odd thing just through the whole process is, especially with steaks, if I'm going to go out and pay for a steak, I've learned to ask the server how would the chef or how would the cook eat it? Like, how would they want it? And it almost comes back medium. And I used to be a medium well type person. And then I learned, you know what, medium to rare is better. So if I get a medium rare, but I always ask the chef's opinion, because if they're cooking it, they, you know, I imagine they're cooking it how they would want it. So I've just learned to ask more and be more specific about some of the things I want. But yeah, it's like Brett, the food palate's changed in what we used to eat versus what we'll eat now. It's made it a lot of fun. It's definitely, you know, mm-hmm. piqued our interest in a lot of new foods, trying new foods.
Well, people are creatures of habit, as you know. Mm-hmm. So even when they go back to a restaurant and for a second time and they were happy with the first go around, they're going to order the same darn thing. It's just that way. So that's good for expanding. So that's good.
We got a little cafe right down the road from us, and they, for what it is, they have a very expansive menu, and it's all good. But I order one of two things there. And my wife looks at me like I'm from Mars, but she does that a lot anyway. I either order their spaghetti because I happen to like pasta, and I really like spaghetti with a meat sauce in it. I mean, that's truly one of the things I really like. Or I ordered a chicken fried steak. And
I
that's
love chicken fried steak.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And I will do that. And Shell will look at me because she's trying the scampi, or she's, you know, doing this. And it's one of those places too that has you can order breakfast anytime. And you were talking about biscuits and gravy, Adam. I mean, she loves biscuits and gravy. She just, you know, so we'll be sitting there, you know, 6 o'clock having dinner and she'll order biscuits and gravy and I'm ordering spaghetti. So it doesn't, you know, there's no cohesion there. I'll tell you that. You guys did a cookbook real quick. We've got just a couple minutes left, but we'll get to this in after hours too. But you did amazing recipes for griddles and flat tops back in 22. How did you decide what to put in the book?
Well, okay. We actually feel fortunate. We just followed it up with the second one based on all smash burgers too, which we were blown away. Actually, it came about because the editor reached out to us, the publishing company reached out to us, and he's incredible and wanted to do it and just gave us a lot of suggestions. And really, we went back to our YouTube. What have we done? What could we, you know, pull together and how do we want to do it? And then on his guidance, we decided how many dinner dishes we wanted to do, how many specific for each area. And it really helped guide us. And that was a painstaking process. I never thought, you know, I thought, oh, now we've got all these cooks, it'll be easy. It's one thing to have the cooks. It's another when you're realizing other people are going to have to read and look at your exact follow right along. It's going to make it tough.
Yeah, I see Brett there shaking his head back there.
Oh, yeah. Is your second book out yet?
Yeah, it is. I had a copy here. I
happen to have the first one, Brett. Nice. I do have the other one back there. But that's the Epic Outdoor Griddle Cookbook. This is the first one. And I thought I had the second one right here. They're up on a shelf. It's called Smash. Yeah. We love that one. You got it right there, dude?
Where can we find it?
Boom, I got it.
There it is, smashed right there. There we go.
Amazon,
Amazon anywhere books are sold. We not that we push or promote Amazon, but with Amazon, the publishing company, they seem to track the numbers the best and give them the best overall. They know exactly what they're selling how. So, but it seems to be anywhere books are sold. I had a friend at Christmas time last year that took a picture, sent it to me that our book was on the shelf at Barnes and Noble. So that was an honor. That was like, oh, that's really great. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
Okay, Adam and Brett, real quick, because we got to get out of here. Where can they find your YouTube channel? Obviously YouTube, but what do they look for when they're trying to find you?
Yeah, so you're just looking for Wall Twins. That's WALTWINS, all one word. Wall Twins on YouTube. You can find us, same name. It's Wall Twins on Facebook. On Instagram, it's Wall Twins 2. And same with Twitter, if you're or X now, if it is, and also TikTok, we're also on there as Wall Twins. But YouTube is our main platform, but we try to promote and get everything else out everywhere else.
Very good.
Great.
Adam and Brett Walton, the Wall Twins, and Leanne, thank you all for your contributions to the show today. We're going to get out of here. The guys are going to stick around for after hours, and that should be a lot of fun today. So for everybody here, I want to thank you, and remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.